Thank you for tuning in to the What's Your Take podcast. My name is Casey. I hope you'll enjoy just as much as I have learning from today's guest. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in to the What's Your Take podcast. My name is Casey and I'm your host. We have a special guest today, Hannah Taylor. How you doing?
I'm so great. Thanks for having me.
Well, no, thank you so much for taking the time to come down and be a part of the podcast. We've known each other for a few years now. We've been, you know, friends through the fact that we became friends in a really weird way, but we've went on trips as couples. We've kind of been a part of kind of like little family get-togethers here and there. We've helped each other move houses a few times. And so we've all became really good friends, like, you know, me, my wife, you and your husband, Simon. And it's just been fun to kind of watch and get to know each other. So also in those regards, I've loved seeing what you've done in your professional life and kind of what's driven you to, I don't know, you call it excel or succeed, and just kind of the way you found balance in your life. So tell me a little bit about you and kind of what you're up to these days.
I guess I'll start with, so a little bit about me is I graduated with my bachelor's degree in art and visual communications with an emphasis in photography. That's a long, long, long degree name.
You lost me halfway through.
And it's fun to write on a application, you know. But so I graduated with that. I have owned my own photography business for 6 years now, and have absolutely loved that. Kind of taken some different directions with that. We can talk about that if you would like. But and then about a year and a half ago, I actually left my corporate job and started my own health and wellness business through doTERRA. So that's a little bit about me. I'm a mom of two kiddos that are super fun and crazy, and we just try and find balance every day through all of it.
I actually love when you talk about being a mom of two kiddos. That's one of my favorite things is I have a lot of friends who have kids, right? And we're at the age where most people our age have children who are married. And sometimes I hate to say it like this, but I really get annoyed by my friends' posts about their kids, because it's like the same that my kid threw up today, or, you know, something like that.
Yeah,
or
totally.
My kid learned this. And I'm sorry to my friends who might listen to this. I enjoy watching Hannah's kids the most. And that sounds weird or creepy, but like they've grown. And because we have a different relationship with them, maybe,
yeah,
is what's the most fun about it. But a couple of things that I was thinking about when we were looking into this interview. One, you're a photographer and you take amazing photos. What really kind of got you into taking pictures and, I guess, choosing that as your art medium to share with the world?
Yeah, so it's actually a super funny story. I was sitting in a design class because I was going to go into graphic design, because I was trying to do something, you know, when you leave high school, everyone kind of tells you the practical things, mm-hmm, that you should be doing. And I initially wanted to go into interior design, but it was kind of at the time when the market wasn't doing so well. And so I had a lot of people saying, don't do that. It's not smart. There's not going to be any business with that. So don't waste your money doing that. And then a lot of people were saying everything's moving towards, you know, graphic design online. So I thought, okay, well, I love art and this seems practical. So I'll do the practical thing that everyone's telling me I should do. And so I was taking a design class, and in this design class, the professor would give us like these assignments, and we could, you know, do the assignments in whatever work or medium we wanted to. It was super funny because I kept turning in all of the assignments with photography. And I remember I was sitting and talking to the professor, and he was explaining how he was super excited to see what I would do in, like, with my photography career. And I remember like laughing, like, well, I'm like laughing at him. I'm like, haha, you're funny.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a photography student. And he was so like shocked. He was so shocked by this. Kind of like, long story short, we talked about how I could actually just go into photography. And at the time I thought he was really crazy, because who majors in photography? That seemed kind of like foolish and stupid. And anyways, he kind of knocked some sense into me a little bit, and I went and changed my major. So that's how I had always loved photography, like in high school, and I think it was just kind of something that naturally happened. It was just kind of this natural thing, and it's been such a like beautiful process how it's like all unfolded as is how life is. So
yeah, it's kind of interesting how things change, right? Your opinion or your idea of what's going to happen and what's coming kind of slowly merges into something else, and you're like, how did this become? And I don't know, I feel that way every day. I'm like, whoa, how did I get here? And it's because either something just changed little by little until you were like, oh, I'm in a different space than I was a year ago, right? Or you were trying to change something and you're like, oh, I've made it to that change. With shooting pictures and photography and, you know, finding that balance, what do you prefer to shoot most? People, like scenery, like do you, because you said you talked a lot about, you know, gosh, I'm going to butcher it, but interior design, right? You talk about that, like on your, like what I see of your work, like you post a little bit of everything. What's your favorite thing to shoot of all those things?
Okay, so I would describe my work as really raw and authentic and emotional. Mm-hmm. And so anything that I can take a picture of that conveys some sort of emotion, or like you feel like you're in that raw moment and it feels really authentic, not like I tried to put it together or was forced or anything like that. That's what I enjoy taking pictures of. So sometimes for me, that is two people that are madly in love, mm-hmm. and are about to join their lives together. And it's really beautiful and it's fun to kind of push that out of them. And then sometimes you can find that in nature and it's really beautiful and you can find emotion. And it kind of took me a while to find that. I would say that was later in my career as a photographer. I really started stepping into more of that nature aspect, or, you know, landscape is the more technical term I should use. But yeah,
sorry.
No, you're good. I'm not using technical terms. So, and then, yeah, sometimes it's, I've recently become really passionate about health and food. And so sometimes I like to take pictures of that and try and convey that as well. So I would say it just kind of comes down to what I'm trying to show the viewer. A lot of my personal work is very emotional and is very expressive. So that's what I would say I'd probably enjoy shooting the most.
Yeah. So you enjoy expressing, right? You enjoy sharing how you feel in those kind of, like you said, raw experiences and moments. And that's something that I think a lot of people have a hard time doing, is being honest with the reality of life, especially when we're looking into, and this is something I've been on a personal, like, social media attack of the world almost. And I feel really bad to say that because I promote and share a lot of things on social media for this business and other businesses, but it's hard to be raw and vulnerable sometimes. Why do you think people have a hard time expressing or sharing their true self?
We could kind of go into this whole aspect of it, but as kids, we came into this world just 100% us. Like, we just came in. And as we grow older, like, the people around us, our experiences and everything that's happened to us in life has kind of shaped us and molded us to act maybe differently than what we truly believe, who we truly are, like, deep down. Yeah. And so I would say a lot of times for most people, like, our experiences, we've been taught to kind of hold that in or to not feel this certain way, or it can bring up shame, like, oh, I don't want to share that, or I don't want someone to see me that way, or I don't want to come across this way, or I don't want to offend anyone, or I want this person to like me. And you're just really thinking about what everyone else is thinking versus, like, what is actually, like, deep down, like, to your core, like, of who you are. And I think so that's kind of an aspect when you're dealing with connecting with people, even face to face, right? Mm-hmm. Like, versus we could take out social media, just connecting with people in general. We put up these walls because we don't want to let people in and show them who we truly are. And then you add social media and all the comparison stuff that's happening, especially, like, in the mom world. There's just a lot of, like, comparison and the mom shame and the mom blame, and it just is really, really toxic. And I think social media just elevates that in a way. And I think there is healthy ways to engage in social media. There is, so kind of crazy story. I don't know if this is going off topic or not, but I think you can use social media in such a beautiful way. Mm-hmm. And you can use it in such a toxic way. Mm-hmm. And there's such a balance between it and being able to, like, let – I think it's all about connection and showing who you truly are. But also there are some things that maybe you don't want to share on social media. And a lot of people don't necessarily want to hear that. Mm-hmm. And I know everyone kind of has their own approach. And that's what's kind of beautiful is – you really honestly don't have to follow someone. You can literally unfollow them. Yeah. If what they're doing, or if they're bringing up something for you that, you know, maybe triggers you, first ask, like, okay, why is this triggering me? But if they're bringing up something, you know, you can unfollow them, or if you're comparing yourself to them, and you can control, like, how much you're consuming of social media. But there is this beautiful aspect to it where if we can get back to connecting with people, and I was able to through, like, my health and wellness business, connect with someone and actually go out and meet them. Like, I flew, like, to the other side of the country. Wow. And met someone I would have never met if I hadn't been connected with them on social media. And I was able to go, and it was actually, like, I was able to go to a military base and meet a bunch of military moms, and I haven't really ever had that experience. And in my life, like, I haven't really been around, like, the military or anything about it. And it was a really eye-opening and cool experience that I would have never had if I wouldn't have connected with this person authentically and in a really honest way through social media. And I think that's, like, the beautiful aspect to it. So it's just all about balance.
Well, yeah, I totally agree. And I love that you bring that up. Like, you were there, you were present, right?
Yeah.
On the social media. I sound like a 40-year-old man or something. But you were present on social media and you were aware, right? It seems like you have a lot of awareness. I think that's something a lot of people need to understand. It's kind of like emotional intelligence, right?
Yeah.
Where you know what's just right and not what's too much, and you know what's not enough, right? And so, yeah, no, I think that's a beautiful thing. And I guess I need to redact a little bit of my statement about what I said about people's kids earlier, because when you brought up a little bit about, like, the mom world, right, and having so many friends who have children, it's actually a very beautiful thing to actually get those legit moments, I should say, because you're right. If I really think about it and I'm being honest, I see a lot of people who are posing as, I don't even call it, like, I know that having a child, right, like I said, I don't have a child, but I know that having a child is a challenge. And I know that being a child also was a challenge. So that's one thing I can't say, right? But there is a lot of beauty in motherhood and people being honest about the situations they're in. Because we've had friends who've had premature children who stay in the hospital for a long time and their struggles. And we see kind of the growth that happens internally. And so that's super beautiful. And then, wait, like, going forward and kind of saying this, I think you're right. Being connected to folks through social media is a wonderful thing. I used to work for a company who did an event where 90% of the event was done on social media, and I still have friends who I follow and who I interact with because of that. So there is a good fine line of balance and kind of that challenge to keep it real and authentic. So thank you. All those things you shared were wonderful. Question, though, about health and wellness and going into it a little bit. I want to segue now from photography, social media, and that into health and wellness. What is America missing? What is the world missing about health and wellness that we need to know? Because I'll be honest, like, I'm like a fat kid, right? Like, if I see candy, I eat it. And sometimes it's just like, it's what my body wants right now. When really it was like, no, my brain just said, oh, this is going to make me feel good because it's sugar and it's like cocaine, right? So what are we missing about health and wellness that we could improve on to make our lives better, happier, and more wholesome?
Oh, that is a long question.
If you want, I can break it down.
No, it's a really good question that does need to be brought up and discussed. Something that I am really, really passionate about talking about. I would say, what does the world need? I would say exactly kind of like what you were saying about kind of listening more to our bodies and taking control of our bodies. Yeah. And not putting the control of our bodies into other people's hands. And, you know, whatever that means for you, but I would say a lot of times we, you know, ask for the opinions of others on what we should do rather than really tuning in and listening. Okay, what does my body need? Mm-hmm. And then with all the food stuff, you know, really listening and kind of intuitively listening, okay, what does my body want? And if your body really wants to eat candy, then it's okay to eat some candy.
I know, but 5 candy bars a day is dangerous. I go to the extreme, though. Like, it's always like, I'm going to have 1 candy bar, and then I'm like, oh, that candy bar is good. And I've gotten better, though. I stopped drinking soda at work. I decided not to eat candy at work, which was a real challenge for me because literally where I work has free soda, and the candy is discounted. So I'm still a child. But it's been hard to kind of just step back and say, that's not what I need, and start, like, throwing an apple in there, throwing an orange in there, and being like, I'm going to have a smoothie when I walk out the door this morning instead of grabbing a candy bar when I get to work type thing. So it's been a challenge, but you're right. People need to know more and people need to be smarter.
Well, I'd say just, like I said, like taking back, mm-hmm. like taking back that control and asking yourself, okay, why am I grabbing that candy bar? So when I worked my corporate job, mm-hmm. I can tell you why I grabbed candy bars. Because I was definitely emotionally eating that candy bar to get through my day.
Yeah.
And so it's asking yourself, okay, why are you choosing that candy bar? And really, like, asking yourself questions and listening and not being hard on yourself and just asking yourself honestly and really learning how to tune in and knowing that it's going to be a lifetime of work, you know, and being really kind to yourself through the process.
Yeah. Do you think, and I never want to, I should stop bashing on things, but it's really sometimes the way I say it comes out worse than it really is. Do you think that we are sold lies through marketing and media all the time? Like, I remember as a kid, right, there was always SlimFast commercials. There was always, oh gosh, like these different like pills that will fat burn faster. Do you think that we're sold an idea that is often unattainable through the mediums people are trying to sell them to us?
Yeah. Yeah. Especially I'd say like growing up with food and, you know, like I'm a 90s kid, you're a 90s kid, and growing up with all the marketing and all the sugary processed stuff that was around us and just kind of like that shift in that busier lifestyle. I feel like I grew up with a single working mom, mm-hmm. and just like that busy, fast paced, you know, quick grab. We were at fast foods probably like 4 out of the 7 nights a week eating, you know, just, and I'd say definitely marketing is huge. And mm-hmm. even nowadays, like with all the marketing on social media that you're seeing, and it's all consuming.
Mm-hmm. It you is. Know? It really, oh man, it drives me crazy sometimes, but I fall for it a lot because I'm like, what if this is good really though? No. For you, how have you stepped into a role where you're, one, coaching folks to live a healthier lifestyle, and how have you helped, or how have you found that for yourself and for your family that eating a better or eating differently or living, you know, a little bit more strategically has benefited your life, if that makes sense?
Yeah, totally. I think the first step for me was realizing that I can't change anyone except for myself. Mm-hmm. And so I really made it a huge priority to work on myself, physically, mentally, spiritually, and make that a real huge priority and kind of just more so be like the example of what it can be like if you choose to step into this kind of type of lifestyle. And I'm not perfect, and there are days where I want to eat chocolate chip cookies all day, and, you know, it's balanced. But yeah. I would say that has been huge for me and made me feel a little bit more authentic in the process of sharing what I'm doing with others and sharing from a really experience place where I'm not just saying like, oh, this does something because I heard it does something and because I'm trying to make money, versus I've tried this, it's helped me, it's been beneficial, here's my story.
Yeah.
do you want that lifestyle? And putting it like in their hands, you know, and that's felt really like empowering and really empowers others, I would say, to take back, like I was saying, take back that control of their health and, you know, whatever they're going through.
Yeah. I like that. Not a lot of folks recognize how much control they've given away. There are certain things like we willingly give away control of. And I like that, like taking the control back of your life and one, accepting and knowing that the only person you can really change is yourself. I found that can be like a really hard thing too, is like accepting that responsibility for yourself, because it's so easy just to toss off and be like, I am a product of this environment, right? And this is why I am this way. And there are certain things we'll never be able to change about ourselves, right? But there are certain things, like you said, we can take control of, like what I eat, no one else's fault but my own. You know, the way that I perceive the world sometimes, a lot of it has to do with myself and what I've decided to choose for that day, right? And so really loved all those things. I think, yeah, this is a gold mine. Thank you. Here's a couple of questions then, I guess, going forward, and we're going to health and wellness, and I want to talk a little bit now about motherhood, right? So you're a mom to two extremely fun children in my, you know, thought process, but probably to you, those two children give you a few trying times, right?
No, never.
but really looking into it, like how have you found as a mom that you've been able to, one, have a little bit of balance while we're managing these two businesses? And how have you found enough time to love and be there for your children? Because I, like I said, I love seeing what you do with your kids. Like right now, like just going into a little bit, like you're doing a little bit with like school and learning, and it seems like both of your kids are very invested in it, and it's a very good outlet for them to learn with, but it also gives them the ability to create. So sorry, you might have been already thinking about talking about that, but that was really cool for me to see, is like, this is a good way to do things. So yeah, sorry.
Well, thank you. No, I would say it's hard because I don't want people to look at my social media and perceive like, oh, I've got this all together, because I don't. And it's a definite struggle every single day. And I would say, honestly, it's coming back to not feeling like you have to do everything and not feeling like you have to look a certain way. And I think what I used to do is I would do everything. Like I would get everything done. I'd cook this dinner and I'd clean my house, and I was super grumpy like through this whole process, and I'd get some work done and the kids were there and I was watching them, I guess you could say, you know, and then I could say like, look what I've done. Like I have done all of this. I am so awesome. And I could like put that over on people, like, look, I've already done that. And that's just so unhealthy.
Yeah.
So unhealthy. And I would say what has really helped me is asking for help, is asking people to help you, and also taking care of myself first. So first taking care of myself and taking care of my health, eating right, getting my head in the right headspace, because when I'm not taking care of myself, that's when I am in a really, really bad place. And I can't function. I have emotional breakdowns and, you know, go cry and eat chocolate in the closet, you know? And so it's really taking care of myself first, taking those times and not feeling guilt about it and being okay with it, and then asking for people to help me. I've been very, very blessed with an amazing, amazing support system around me. And I know a lot of people do not have that in their lives, or they don't live near family, or maybe their spouse isn't super supportive of what they're doing and isn't willing to come home and, you know, help them. And that can be really challenging. And I've seen that. And so I would say in those aspects, like asking a friend for help, or trading with another mom, trying to find community. I would say that's been a huge aspect for me as well, is finding a community of like-minded people, like in similar stages as myself. Like my area, we have like this little free workout area, our workout,
like a fitness center type thing.
Well, we just do it. They just do it for free, and we come together and we all work out together, and it's really like low key, and our kids play together. And that's been such a fun outlet for me, and just finding those things that are really important to you and saying no to everything else. Even if you are so stressed about what that person's going to think of you, if you say no, it's okay to say no. And yeah, it's something I'm still working on every single day. But yeah. I would say every single mom, that's something I'm really, really passionate about, is helping other moms take some time for themselves and making themselves a priority, because they're going to show up mm-hmm. in this world so much better if we all showed up as our best, you know, or trying to be our best every day. It would literally like change the world.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think that there are not enough folks who take time for themselves, especially moms. You know, there are moms who have found that balance and are working towards that balance. I can't say that nobody has necessarily found the perfect balance. Nobody is a monk who, you know, is a mom and a monk, right? Where you're like, I sit and I, you know, chant for 35 minutes and I'm good for the day, right? It doesn't work that way. Because I think as a parent especially, you never know what your kid's going to hit you with that day, right?
So, oh, yeah.
art on the walls. We bought this house and there is art down the hallway. And I'm like, I wonder how that day went in this home. So.
Oh, yeah. I've been there. I have a budding artist in my house who she's awesome.
She got like an art board for her birthday recently, didn't she?
Oh, everyone got her all art supplies yeah. for her birthday, because that's all she wants to do. And she just colors on. She actually gave herself a little tattoo uh-huh. on her her leg oh. the other day. She like drew a little something on like her ankle.
She's a budding tattoo artist.
Yeah.
She's gonna get a little sun down there one day. You know? I think that's funny. I saw something on social media once, and when you were talking about budding artists, a parent's child had drawn on their wall. And so what they did was they framed it around it, and they did like, it was an art exhibit where it was like child X, you know, medium, you know, marker on wall or something like that. I was like, that's pretty funny.
That is funny.
But no, I love that. I appreciate it. Thank you. The perception that people have a lot of times as they grow up is, I need to be perfect. I need to be able to balance and do everything. As a kid, did you think you had to do that as well? Or even as a young adult?
Yeah, I definitely am a recovering perfectionist, mm-hmm. like a lot of us are. And perfectionism is just a form of fear mm-hmm. and just fear of showing who we truly are. And I would say, yeah, I think we all have experiences from our childhood and our youth where we, you know, form these habits and these beliefs about ourselves that, you know, we show up in a way that maybe we shouldn't, or block a certain part of ourselves. Mm. And that's something that I have been working on a lot lately, is that work of, you know, kind of letting go of all of those beliefs or those things that I had, mm-hmm. you know, grown up with and, you know, believed about myself that aren't really who I am.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I tend to, I hate talking about myself on these things, but I guess this kind of goes along with the question, the answer. So, right. Like, for those who know me, I have one arm. For those who don't know me, hey, I have one arm. So repeat that twice in one moment. But really, I remember as a kid feeling really out of place and then trying to push myself back into place, right? Because, and this might be something you can relate to in a certain way, but in other ways you can't. Like, I was a one-armed person in a two-armed person's world, right? Everything was designed for the dominant hand, which was the right hand. I only have a left hand. And then no clothes fit me accurately and stuff like that. And I remember as a kid always feeling like I was a weirdo, right? Not necessarily because I was a weirdo, but because I was off. And I remember one day, I can't specifically tell you like, oh, it was a Friday at 3 p.m., right? But I remember one day just realizing that it was cool to be unique and a little bit different and to accept that. And I remember being excited to tell my parents about that, and my parents being like, well, duh, we've been talking to you about this forever. Like, just do your thing your way. And I think that that's something that's still hard for me today, though, is because you go into a business or you go into a certain thing and they're like, this is the way you have to do it, right? This is our ideal route. And in ways we look at that, and that's the only way to do it because that's what they told me, you know. And so yeah, it's very hard to be, I don't know, in that stage of recovery, because I think it's not just a period of recovery that lasts like 1 to 2 years, it lasts a lifetime, because it's really easy to fall back into wanting to be a part of the mold or be a part of that general circuit, right? And so I commend you on working on that, because it's hard. It's something that we all have to do all the time. And no, it's good. So hopefully that tangent made sense a little bit.
I just think it's good that you recognize that and you are aware. Mm-hmm. And again, just like really kind to yourself through the process. And like in those moments where you're feeling that, where you're like being triggered and you're like going back to that place, you know, like just being conscious of it. Mm-hmm. And so you can come back to like, no, this is who I really am. Like, this is who I am, and this is how I want to show up. And it's not easy, and it's not like you're not gonna be perfect at it. And because it's like literally like reprogramming your brain. Like, our brains are super powerful, and there's reasons like we went through all that. There's reasons that we had that, and then, you know, this process of, okay, I went through that, this is what I've learned, but this is who also who I really am. So I think it's cool that you're recognizing that.
It's hard to. So thank you. I appreciate it. Another thought that I had kind of looking into it is where you are today. If you were to rewind the clock 10 years and you were able to sit down with yourself and say, hey, Hannah, this is something you should know. What is something you would tell Hannah of 10 years ago today?
I would tell her to honestly not try to be something that you're not. And mm-hmm. that kind of sounds a little like cliche almost, you know?
No, not at all.
And cheesy. But I would just honestly like sit with her and tell her, like, you are divine. Like, you are literally like a divine, everyone is a divine creation, and we are made perfectly. Mm-hmm. Like, we are made perfectly how we're supposed to be made, and we need to show up exactly who we are and not try to be something else just because someone else wants us to be that way, or we perceive that someone else wants us to be that way, because a lot of times we just perceive that.
Yeah.
Perceive like, oh, someone wants me to be like that, and it's really just us in our fear and wanting to be loved. Like, all we want to do is just be loved. Everything we do is because we want to be loved, or we are giving love. Yeah. So
fair and true and honest. Nothing about that statement was wrong. I think we're gonna close up. I know you gotta run, but really fast, if people want to find you, follow you, and kind of get to know you a little bit better, where can they find you and where can they follow you if you want to share, or if you're like, nah, I like keep it private, whatever you
want. No, first, thank you so much for having me. It's been fun, and it's fun to like Casey was saying, we've known each other for a while and kind of like that more friendship. And I think it's really good for friendships to kind of have more of that real conversation rather than like kind of like the fluff that's up here.
Yeah,
I guess you can't see my hands. Anyways, above my head, just like the fluff, you know. And I think it's good to have that. So it's been really fun chatting with you. If you guys want to find me, my social media is just Hannah J. Taylor on Instagram. I also have a photography page. It's Hannah Taylor Photo, and then there's an underscore. So that's where you guys can find me. And yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, no, thank you. And yeah, we'll get this up soon. And once again, appreciate it. This is a real growing experience for me personally, and I've appreciated everything you said, because it's helping me have less nerves about sharing me being an interviewer and finding good folks like yourself to, you know, come in and talk. So once again, thank you so much for coming in. And please, if you have any other questions or comments about it, just comment back on the post, message us back, and we will monitor it. And if you have any questions for Hannah, I will just tag her in them so that she can answer them, and I will not fake my way through the questions. No, but once again, thank you so much for tuning into the What's Your Take podcast, and we'll talk to you again next time.